welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Well, welcome back to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. We are concluding our series today, How to Ruin Your Life by 35, with part 9 of this series. If this is the first episode you are hearing of this series, I encourage you to go back and listen to the previous episodes as we've been talking about things we do sometimes intentionally, but most of the times unintentionally, that really throw our life off course. And today we're going to finish that series by talking about hiding your heart. If you want to ruin your life by age 35, hide your heart. Everyone has struggles. Everyone has issues. Not everyone deals with their struggles and their issues in a healthy way. You know, we're kind of all like icebergs, meaning that people don't see 90% of what we are. They see the 10% above water. These are the things that we want people to see. These are the ideas that we want people to have of us. But the real truth lies beneath the surface. And frankly, that's probably 90%, if not more, of our life. And these are the things that we know about that others may not ever see or notice or realize. And if we try to hide the 90% of what we are, our lives are going to spiral out of control. In fact, our lives will crash if we hide our hearts rather than guard our hearts. The idea of guarding your heart is an idea that runs throughout the entire biblical narrative. Solomon mentions it in the book of Proverbs on several occasions in several different ways, but one of the most notable occasions is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, when Solomon writes, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Some translations might say, "Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." For the Jewish people, the heart was the seat of emotion, will, passion, and intellect. In our Western culture, we differentiate between the heart and the mind. We say the mind is the place of intellect, the heart is the place of passion and emotion. But for the Jewish people, it was one and the same. Said in another way, the heart was who you were. It was your identity as a person. And the heart is mentioned some 855 times in the Old Testament, not as a description of this organ that pumps blood through your body, but rather as the center of who you are as a human being. Solomon would write in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19, "As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects that man." Jeremiah would say, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So even though the heart is who we are, sometimes our hearts can deceive us because our lives are in the wrong place. Jesus would speak much about the heart. He would say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Once again, your mind, your passion, your intellect, your will. Who you are is going to be where your treasure is. Now, I wish Jesus would have said, "Where your heart is, there your treasure will be." But he doesn't. He says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." And sometimes we can have the wrong treasure. We can prioritize the wrong things. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 15, verses 19 through 20, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. And he would later say, these are the things that make a man unclean. So a heart, or the heart, is critical to who we are as people, but it can serve us in a good way, or it can serve us in a bad way. And if we don't deal with the bad virtues of the heart, our lives are going to be a complete disaster. The great reformer Martin Luther made this statement. He said, the fight against oneself is the worst fight of all. I am my own worst enemy, and you are yours. Getting back to that illustration of us being like icebergs, we try to spend most of our time on the 10% that people see, when we should be spending the majority of our time on the 90% that only we know about, that only God knows about. But if we don't deal with that part of who we are, our lives are eventually going to come back and destroy us. So the question is, how do we deal with the traps of the heart? How do we deal with the things that need to be removed? Two things I want to mention today. Number one, you have to confess what's in there. You have to talk about that 90% under the surface that needs to be dealt with, that needs to be healed. You know, David, in the prime of his life, commits a terrible sin of adultery with Bathsheba. He then later covers up that sin by arranging the murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite. David and Bathsheba lose the baby that is conceived out of wedlock. But after the prophet Nathan confronts David for his sin with Bathsheba, David writes Psalm 51. And we hear the pain in his voice as David is dealing with the problems of his heart. He's dealing with that 90% under the surface that has now become public before the nation of Israel. David says in Psalm 51, verse 3, I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. David confesses, I understand that I have issues. These issues don't go away. He says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. That's what God wants. God takes pleasure when his people's hearts are broken. Because when hearts are finally broken, hearts can finally begin to heal. We have to learn how to confess the ugliness of our sin to God, because if we learn to confess the ugliness of our sin to God, it becomes easier for us to learn how to confess to other people. And that is also a mandate of Scripture. James would write in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We have to confess to more people than just God. We have to learn how to confess to our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we can never be healed from that which is concealed. But after we confess, then we have to repent. We have to make changes in our lives, and making those changes is never easy. In fact, it's often unpleasant. Thomas Brooks was a Puritan theologian of the 16th century. And Thomas Brooks referred to repentance as vomit of the soul. You think about what happens when you vomit. I mean, pardon the illustration, but ponder the message here. It's an unpleasant experience. It's uncomfortable. It can be nasty. But once it's taken place, it's therapeutic. It's when you actually begin to feel better. And what's interesting about Satan is that Satan is very patient. Satan may wait for the perfect time to spring disaster upon our lives. He may wait 30 or 40 or 50 years. But it will be the perfect time if we don't deal with the sins of our heart. In his book, Steve Farrar makes this compelling statement. He says, when private life doesn't match up with public life, it's a clue that something has gone wrong internally. And it didn't go wrong overnight. It probably began early and was ignored during the crucial period of the 20s and 30s, and by the 40s, it could be hidden no longer. The things you don't deal with today eventually will come back to haunt you. Now, that's a message of Scripture. Your sins will find you out unless you deal with your sins right now. The end of all spiritual disciplines, the goal of all biblical imperatives, and thus the remedy to the vast majority of all of life's problems, is an honest, comprehensive, and courageous confrontation of one's heart. My friends, your life will crash and burn if you try to hide your heart rather than guard it. We're all like icebergs. 90% of our lives rest below the surface. But that's the portion of our lives that we have to watch very carefully. And that's the portion of our lives that we have to continue to deal with, confess, repent from. And because if we don't, disaster is coming. As always, thank you for spending your time today with us here at Road Talk. Keep your eyes on heaven, and I can't wait to talk with you next time. God bless.